You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the 133rd episode of the Real Reading Podcast with me, Tom Canning.
And me, Rachel Nemeth.
And make sure you give us a follow on Twitter at Real Reading Pod and join our Facebook group, the Real Reading Podcast Group, named because it is a group and it's about the Real Reading Podcast, Rach.
See what you did there.
Seems to make sense, doesn't it?
So, yeah.
Coming up this week, we've got a new feature. We are looking at a big story making the headlines, and we are chatting to friend of the podcast, Dave Moore, about events, which I don't know if you've heard, Rach, are back.
We can go to events again?
Yes, we can go to events.
This is exciting news.
Talking of things that are back, we're back. Some of you that are already in those previously mentioned social media channels will have realised that, yes, last week we said we're back, and we weren't, because someone... and you can't see on this audio media who I'm pointing to, didn't realise that he was organising the first podcast back after about a month and a half off, and was trying to organise it on a day he already had a previous family commitment that could not, for any reason, be got out of.
Nice one, that man.
I know, that man. So I don't know if there is such a thing as dads having baby brain. But
is that what you're going to claim?
That's what I'm claiming at that point.
Okay.
Which was quite something special. So apologies, everybody who is eagerly awaiting a podcast to drop. You will also notice other things have changed. We changed the intro after 133 episodes. I've rewritten it, finally. And also, you'll notice it's just me and Rach this week. How do you feel about that, Rach? Just you and me?
Missing someone.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
We're at Forto has pulled out at the last minute. He has other things to do. He's a very busy man at the moment.
Busy roving reporter. We'll be all right, but we'll miss his expert traffic and council information, won't we?
The one thing everybody may notice is that there will be no sort of fuzzy feedback from either him rubbing his beard, the microphone, or anything else. So there's... Paul Mann will also be back at various points in the next few weeks, and we've hopefully got some other people lined up in the near future. So let's move on. We have a new feature. It's called, and I've come up with this all by myself. I had this brainwave overnight. It's called Building a Reading Citizen.
Okay, explain that one.
Well, as you know, Reading is bidding to become a city again.
Now, how many times is that now?
I think this is the third time.
Okay.
And I was thinking, how do we talk about this as a thing? Because, you know, we could go down the road of, oh, is it right? Is it wrong? Should we, shouldn't it? How much is it going to cost? All that stuff. And I don't think I'm not sure people are that bothered. I get the general, maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, then do get in touch and tell me how I'm wrong. But I don't know. I'm not bothered whether Reading's a city or not. Are you, Rach?
We've talked about this before on the pod, haven't we? And like what it brings to Reading if it does get city status. I'm not sure that the changes were significant enough for it to impact us particularly. I don't know if there's any investment in the town and that kind of thing, but. Yeah, but it seems to be something we keep going for.
Yeah, well, you know, one day we might win. Anyway, so Building a Reading Citizen is our new feature, and every week I will be asking a member of the team to come up with something that any budding future citizen of Reading must have done to be considered a true Reading citizen. And we'll be asking the public to vote on it as to whether it becomes part of our constitution. So rather than stitch anyone up, I've chosen the first one. So first up for me, of course, it's simply having a pint at the Nag's Head. So you can see the level of seriousness that we are taking this. I think any future budding Reading citizen, whether you, you know, and this could be a pint of Coke, if that's, if you know, if you're not a drinker, simply the act of going to the Nag's Head and ordering something from the bar, that is an act that must be achieved in order to unlock level one of your Reading citizenship.
Can I just stipulate that we don't have the 10 points of a constitution all like going to various pubs or breweries that you like. They can't all drinking establishments.
No, they're not. And just to allay anyone's fears, next week Rachel is choosing the second point of the constitution.
Am I? Okay, I've got a week to think about it.
Indeed. And in actual fact, this may not make it onto the constitution because it's going to a public vote. So
the awkward thing is, I'm already thinking of some that I myself haven't done.
That's okay. So we can lie.
That could get hashtag awkward, or maybe it's just an excuse for me to go out and do a few Reading-y things.
Well, this is the thing. So we'll be ticking these off, and we'll keep going until we've got 10 things included on our constitution. And although that does make it sound slightly more biblical than perhaps I meant. So maybe it'll be 11. Maybe we'll just do 11 or something like that. Anyway, and until we've got enough good ones that we can carve it in stone like Ed Miliband did. Because that went well. As I say, having a pint of something in the Nag's Head, the act of going to the bar and ordering a drink. I was toying with the idea of maybe specifically something from their top shelf, their top chalkboard shelf, the really strong stuff. But I do think it's just a plain and simple pint of something enjoyed in the venue. Mm. You get bonus points for ordering pork scratchings.
Do you have to eat them?
Yes, of course you do. Yeah, of course you do. You've got to have one.
I'm always wary of a pork scratching in case you get one with like hairy bits or something.
I thought we were famously going to go down a route where we talk about your weak teeth.
Oh, am I notorious for weak teeth?
Well, we'll talk about this off air, but at one point we were having a conversation where when we used to sit opposite each other in our old office, where we're going to the dentist quite a lot for a period of time. And I wasn't. So I assumed you had weak teeth, but perhaps not.
Okay. No. That is awkward. I've also got a few years on you. And I, yeah. They've been okay, thanks, since then.
Rachel does not have weak teeth. I retract.
I've got all my own teeth and, yeah.
Fair enough. If you've got ideas that you think could be in our constitution, or you just want to add some thoughts to everything that we've talked about so far, if you want to tell me I'm wrong about Rachel having weak teeth, which, you know, I admit I am, then please do get in touch. Here is our mate Jeremy with how you can.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod. And join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. We are just awaiting the arrival of Ollie. As if by magic. There he is.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Ollie. Thank you. Thank you for joining us on the Real Reading Podcast. It's Ollie Lytlemeyer. Is that how we're pronouncing it? I should have done this before.
Lytlemeyer.
That's
a good attempt.
Thank you. Where are you these days at the moment in this world of, obviously you're working on Berkshire Live at the moment and you've written the story that we're going to be talking about, but obviously you could be based anywhere in the country. Where are you?
Yeah, so I'm kind of on the borders of Oxfordshire and Northamptonshire. So our new site Oxfordshire Live launches, I'm going to be helping to work on that. So, but at the moment, yeah, I'm doing Berkshire Live and Buckinghamshire Live.
Fantastic. Ollie, I don't know if you've met Rachel. This is Rachel. Sorry, everybody listening to this. We're having a little intro session. But Ollie's written the story that we're talking about today, which is a Reading mum has but I'll tell you what, Ollie, you take up the story, you tell us what's going on.
Okay, so basically, a new mum in Reading was in town in Reading. She was walking around with her partner and her nine-week-old baby, and her baby was upset and it needed a feed, and she's breastfeeding. So both of them also wanted to get some food for themselves, so they popped in to Pret in the Oracle, and Emma, who's the mum, she went round kind of to the back of the store near where all the toilets are, you know, quite like tucked away. There was a table there, and she started breastfeeding, and one of the managers told her that she needed to cover up and that she couldn't do that in that store. And obviously she was very upset by that, and you know, she felt quite embarrassed. It was one of her first times leaving the house since giving birth, and you know, it's kind of sparked this kind of conversation about breastfeeding in public, I guess.
Rach, the obvious thing to do here is to go to you as someone with experience of this. Is this something that happened to you at all, or what were your thoughts on the situation?
Sorry, my Wi-Fi very typically dropped out for a few moments there. So I'm assuming you're directing that at me now, Tom.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I've got two boys, one of whom is 6 months old, and do I have any experience of this? No, not directly, but my problem with this is twofold. Firstly, that breastfeeding is the most natural thing in the world. Your baby needs feeding, your body produces what it needs, and you should be able to feed that baby wherever and whenever is necessary. The other side of that is that with both of my boys, I found it incredibly difficult to breastfeed, and in fact didn't manage to do it for very long, which is one of my regrets of motherhood, but we won't go down that route. It is difficult. It's very painful at the beginning, and the fact that Emma has managed to do it and is achieving that and feeding her nine-week-old baby is a huge achievement, and she shouldn't feel conscious or embarrassed to be doing that. It's a really awkward one, because I personally wouldn't sit there with my boob out. Like, if you're sitting feeding, then the baby's on you, and it is fairly discreet in its nature. It's not like you're sort of sat there. But then, I don't know, if the baby comes off and you're just sat there with your boob out, I don't know, is that appropriate in a public place? It becomes a little bit awkward, I think, at times. But to be feeding your baby is totally natural, and you should be able to do it anywhere and anytime without anybody making you feel uncomfortable.
Ollie, there was a Pret have issued a statement, haven't they? I'm not sure it really answers any particular questions. What have they said?
Yeah, so Pret have kind of got back to us, and they've just said that whatever happened in the Oracle store was a complete misunderstanding, and that they apologise, and that women are always free to breastfeed in their stores. But when I sent this to Emma, you know, she said they haven't actually come to me with that. And she's reached out to Pret a few times now, and they've kind of given a half-hearted apology to her, just told her that they'll investigate. And I think she was a bit upset that she didn't get that apology to her, which is understandable, I guess. And I think Emma's main point is that she wants there to be more kind of clear-cut understanding across, you know, whether it be like retail or just anywhere in public, because sometimes you can't just go home and feed your baby, you know, they need that food like now, and it's not as always easy as just going home and doing it there. Like, when a baby needs their food, they need their food. And so I think she's just kind of calling for, you know, more education and more training. And I'm glad that we were able to get that story out and kind of.
I, I must say, she's you know, as a obviously not being a woman myself, but as a dad of a nearly 10-month-old currently, and kind of almost being in similar situations where your baby needs feeding one way or the other, it's quite, you know, even for the dad trying to, just because you know the child needs food, and you've got to find someone, and you would think, you know, Rach, I think it's fair to say that breastfeeding in public has become more normalised. I think is that right? Am I right in thinking that? Is it something that's become?
I suppose it depends who you are. For somebody like me, who I spend a lot of time with other mums of small babies, it's completely normal.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. We go to coffee shops and people are feeding their babies left, right, and centre all around. How other people feel about that, I don't know, but.
Well, it doesn't really matter what other people think, does it? Whether you feel uncomfortable, if someone's sort of sitting there watching, so to speak, doesn't really matter if you feel uncomfortable. It's about the baby being fed, and I think
yeah. And I don't know what the them saying that it needed to be more discreet. What does that mean? Does that mean like put a muslin or something over the baby so that they're, you know, suffocating whilst they're feeding, or does it mean go somewhere else? Because quite often, if there are facilities available, you know, like a family room or just somewhere private that you can go and feed, quite often they seem to be like a changing facility, a toilet and a chair where you can sit and feed a baby. I'm like, would you want to have your dinner sat next to the toilet? Not really. So, you know, if you're sitting having a coffee, why shouldn't your baby feed as well? And if people do feel uncomfortable about seeing breasts in public, maybe they should be the ones looking the other way rather than the mother having to turn around and face a wall or go and sit in a toilet somewhere. And I just find it a bit, you know, a lot of the people who do have a problem with it, you think, well, how did you feed when you were a baby?
Well, yes.
I don't think you sat there with a roast dinner and a knife and fork at a table, did you? So, you know, we all had to feed one way or the other when we were tiny. So just get past it. I don't know. No, actually, I'm not going to go there because I'll probably just get myself in trouble. Is it people thinking of it as a sexual thing because boobs are on display when actually... Yeah, nice one, Tom. Thumbs up. But really, you know, their primary function, unfortunately for you, Tom, is not for you to look at.
This is true.
They are there for a baby to feed from. That is their primary function. If people have a problem with that, I suggest the problem is with them rather than the feeding.
And I think the manager was, from what Emma told me, she was kind of asking her, like you said, to put like a blanket over the baby's head and over her, and Emma was kind of saying in her head, like, it's one of the hottest days of the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna cover my baby up and have it not able to breathe, you know. Would you, she said to me, would you want your dinner on a really hot day under your duvet?
Yeah.
Like, you just wouldn't. So yeah.
And obviously babies notoriously still. Young children are notoriously still and don't move around or thrash about and make these things difficult. As I say, as a father of a near 10-month-old, my child stays remarkably still whenever you put anything on her. She's just like it doesn't move at all, not a muscle. So, yeah.
Sense a tiny bit of sarcasm there, Tom.
Oh, good. Oh, you got that. Good.
I got that.
What an absolute load of nonsense. So, well, hopefully just by us talking about it, and I am conscious that there are two men on this conversation talking about something that they've not had to do themselves. So I do appreciate you being able to open up about that, Rach, as well. Thank you very much.
What the changes are that the establishments need to make. And it's not even as much as training, is it? It's just... It's okay for that to happen here, and that is,
yeah.
It shouldn't even have to be a conversation, but if it is, that's all it needs to be. If people are feeding their babies, that's fine.
We've all got neck muscles, we can all turn away.
There you go.
The big interview.
Hi, everybody. I am here with Dave Moore of Reading Music Promoters Heavy Pop. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Tom.
Welcome back. I can't remember how many times you've been on the podcast, but this is you're becoming a regular, which is very nice.
It's good. I think the last time I was in my lounge, yes, there was some sort of lockdown was going on.
Lockdowns. Who remembers lockdowns?
Don't know what it was even. Anyway, never mind.
We've got you on because events are back. So, and you've got some events, funnily enough. So, what's going on? How are you getting on with events?
How am I getting on with events?
Broad question for you.
Yeah, broad question. Plucking away, I think, is a good way to describe it. So, obviously, things are challenging, but you're all sort of planning ahead the best you can in a sea of uncertainty, shall we say, like same with everyone else. But no, we've got some positive things going on. Like we announced the Dattley Abbey Festival Fan Art yesterday, and a water party on the Friday, which we haven't done before. So that's some good stuff. We've got some great shows lined up for later in the year and into next year. So there is positives to talk about, to be honest.
So obviously, putting on an event at the moment is I would hazard a guess more difficult than normal.
Yes.
What are you having to do specifically?
Well, the main thing is obviously COVID, everyone's favourite conversation. because obviously there's guidance out there, but obviously a lot of it's not mandatory. So we're sort of keeping an eye on that. And then I know everyone's taking different, the events that have taken place, whether it be festivals or shows, people take different approaches to a local level up to the bigger events. Some people are like, oh, like it's normal, circa early 2020, 2019, those days. Other people are asked for tests, various types of testing. It's all kind of obviously everything different approaches depending on the audience and the perceived risk and all the rest of it. So with our point of view, we're just kind of sort of obviously exhaust as much information as we can to the guys that is out there. We're part of a number of associations these days. So for example, the Association of Festivals have been amazing actually over the last year and a bit. And I've some other support networks, and we're part of an independent promoters group and some other bits and pieces. And they've all been amazing actually during this whole process, because obviously there's been lots of twists and turns. We're kind of just planning ahead the best we can, but also take into consideration that we want people to feel safe to attend the events and feel comfortable coming, because we want people to have a good time. So that's that, alongside just all the other things you have to do, all the logistical stuff and all the other all the things you have to do if you're doing any sort of type of event. Really, it's just like another thing you need to add to the list, really.
And do you think, with everything that's going on, do you think that's likely to affect how many people will come along?
Good question. I mean, I think confidence at the moment is probably not that high. I think generally across the board, I think whether it's people going shopping or anything else at the moment, I like to think obviously as things go into, as the summer, go through the summer and into the autumn, that confidence sort of picks up and as more people get vaccinated, etc. We kind of sort of people sort of readjust to some sort of normality that will come back. I think people do want to do stuff. They're just kind of a bit like hesitant at the moment, which I think is understandable considering what everyone's been through the last year or so. So hopefully it'll bounce back stronger.
And so let's try and talk specifically about Down the Abbey, because I think that's the big one at the moment, isn't it? What are you most excited about Down the Abbey, aside from the idea of actually having a festival?
Well, it's quite amazing that we can do it, to be fair. Like obviously a few months ago, it wasn't going to be able to happen for various reasons. So that itself is quite exciting. I'm quite looking forward to the idea of actually just be able to wander around and see some bands, really. I mean, in terms of things we're doing for it, like we've we've made some tweaks and we've made some improvements from when we launched it in September 2019. So we've had a load of kids activities. We're working with local arts charity Jelly, who's sort of leading our workshops, and they're also brought in a company called Disappointing Clown Company, who are clowns, but not your average type clowns. All kinds of, there's those kind of mad activities basically that kids and adults can do. Like, I won't go through all of them now because I'm surprised, but some of them are quite bonkers, but sound amazingly entertaining. I've also booked in, so Damien A. Passmore, who you know, you'll know, I kind of pitched this idea to him about a couple months ago. So he did this show in the summer called Abba to Zappa.
Right.
And Abba to Zappa was basically him doing an 80s set of songs, certain letters. So obviously each letter represented a different act, and some of them were kind of fixed, and the other ones you could, there was like, he learned like two or three, you know, acts with the letter C, for example, and then you could shout out and choose which one, you know, the most popular vote he performed. And it was like thoroughly entertaining, you know. And from that, I kind of approached him about this idea of doing, like, either doing that at Downton Abbey as one idea, but then I said, well, I've actually got this other idea. And my other idea was, like, I said, how would you feel about doing a set that's based around, like, family films and, like, TV shows? So, like, you know, Toy Story and yeah. Muppets, etc. And luckily he was really up for it, so he's doing that. So I've kind of basically given him a load of extra work to do. But I hope it'd be, you know, so that should be amazing, I think, for everyone, like,
yeah,
you know, adults and kids, you know, alike. So we've got that going on. Yeah, so we've got like that and the kids stuff, we've got some extra food vendors in. We've got a really good mix of bands, like especially the Saturday night, as it goes to the evening, it's quite sort of party led, you know, we wanted to have quite a bit of a vibe to it. I think everyone needs a bit to, you know, I think everyone wants a bit to, you know, shake off the cobwebs. There's loads of things we're, you know, excited about, to be honest. You know, I'm really happy with how the lineup's turned up despite the challenges of just trying to book it in the first place. So from that point of view, I'm really happy. So, you know, hopefully it'll be a good event for everyone.
And it, so just looking at kind of at Reading as a whole in the wider area, what else is going on? Because I'm kind of coming to you, Dave, as an expert of what kind of is going on the ground.
Pressure.
Well, because I'm stuck in a room. I've got a small baby and I'm not getting out and about. So what else is going on and around? Because obviously putting on a festival, you're very involved in that, and there'll be an element where you're actually working rather than enjoying. So yeah. What are you looking forward to going to yourself as a punter?
Good question. Well, I haven't really thought about that, actually. I've been so busy in our own stuff. I'm just looking forward to it. I think also now things are starting to open a little bit, like the face bar reopened last week. The Turtles have been doing stuff pretty much the whole time when they've been able to. The South Street Arts Centre is reopening in September. I think most places, you know, will be open by, if they're not open already. So, do you know what? I'm just looking forward to the opportunity to just go to, you know, just go for a wander around and do things, really. And then, so this isn't one particular thing. I just like I'm just quite looking forward to the old days. You know, sometimes I go for a show, I go to one gig at one place, and I wander down and catch something at somewhere else, you know. So I'm just looking forward to be able to kind of just go exploring and discovering some new music, really, and bumping into people that, you know, some faces I haven't seen since 2019, you know, at a gig, you know, that'd be nice.
And I think people might be quite surprised. I think Reading will look a little bit different. A lot of the chain restaurants and other such stores will all have gone. Do you have any sort of inkling about what might be coming down the road, or is it just going to be slightly more of a, we're going to have a lot more empty shops? And I'm just kind of leaning on your indie shopper arm at this point.
I don't know. I think it depends on rates, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think people are always very like creative with what they do. You know, I mean, obviously, like, you know, once I go back to like people at Milk, you know, have sort of, you know, and shared and grab and go, and there's always like great independents like those guys who have kind of managed to kind of keep going and tweak things through the various stages of this whole pandemic. And I think there's definitely opportunity for more independent businesses. I think you need that, as well as that, you know, okay, you need your M&Ss and you know, because they drive footfall into any town or city. That's just, you know, that's just how it is. But I think you also need you know, your independent coffee shops and your food places and jewelers and all these other things that kind of help sort of kind of give a bit more personality to the town. So, I mean, I guess, you know, as it comes down to, I guess, council supporting those sort of businesses and obviously like banks, etc. But I like to think hopefully we'll see flourish of more, you know, independent creative types doing their own thing and, you know, making town, you know, even more interesting.
Thanks, Dave. Just to finish off, if people want to get along to Down at the Abbey, if they want to find out more, where can they go?
So, yeah, the best thing to do is just go to our website, which is downattheabbey.co.uk. All the information's on there. You know, check out, we've got a lovely video, lovely photos from the first festival. Again, there's all the information about the bands and ticket, you know, how to get tickets, etc. It's all from there. So, yeah, just head there.
And I think we've done this whole interview without actually even pointing out it is in the grounds of Reading Abbey. For anybody that's new to our podcast, maybe not heard of Down at the Abbey before, it's literally within the grounds of the historic Reading Abbey.
Abbey Ruins. It said Reading Abbey Ruins, which is celebrating its 900th anniversary, so it's pretty special to be able to do something in that space, especially on this year. So that's where it is. It's an amazing, I mean, if you've never been there, I mean, I think people sometimes forget that it's there because it's just next door to the Forby Gardens and it's a beautiful space, it's a very calming space. It's weirdly though, you know, it's one of those spaces where actually it's extremely quiet considering you're based in the town centre. So yeah, I'd urge anyone to go down and just have a little wander around, you know, and then we'll come and take it over and obviously we'll put our stages up with two stages of music, obviously all the food and drink, Sarah running our main bar. Some people love their award-winning beer. We'll know about someone already. Obviously, got the kids' stuff. Got the Friday party. Got a lot of the ruins in the evening. It's a pretty special site. So, yeah. Hopefully see people there, obviously, in September. But if not, just go check out the ruins on your lunch break and just like, take a wander. It's a very cool space and venue to have in the town centre.
Dave, thank you very much.
Cheers, Tom.
The big interview.
So that was Dave Moore talking about Down the Abbey Festival, amongst other events that he's organising. As we mentioned at the top of the show, events are back. Ollie is still with us. Hello, Ollie. You're still here. Events. How are you feeling about events?
I think I'm very torn on it. I think it's just very easy to say, yeah, I want everything to go back to normal because I do, and obviously it is now. But at the same time, I don't want to get ill. And I haven't actually been to any big, big events or like nightclubs or anything since they've reopened. Because I think it's kind of daunting to me a little bit. You know, we've gone from being sat indoors on our own mostly to mixing with thousands of people. It is quite scary. I think if events were, I know this is really hard for them to do, were to put in some kind of extra protocols, like I don't know, having to be double vaccinated or a negative test, that would help me, and I think a lot of others feel more comfortable. I'm not against going to events right now, but I'd have to like think about it, and I get the economy needs to go and we need to get out there, but you know, there also needs to be that health concern. So that's how I feel about it. I'm very on the fence.
Ollie, thank you very much for that. As our youthful representative, it's good to get an idea of that side of things. I know you've got to go, so thank you very much for joining us today, and hopefully we'll see you again either next week or in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you very much, Ollie.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Ollie.
Bye. Rach, events. Obviously, you and I are in slightly different positions. I have been going out. I have been, but I'm going to places that I know are safe, places where I can be sat sensibly distance from people. And actually, I'm due to be going out this Saturday for the first time ever. In a long, long time. And I'm going to test myself in the morning. I'm gonna do a test. But what are you feeling? Because obviously, you're in a slightly different position. Your husband is going out to work. Yeah. You've got two kids at home, one of whom is likely wanting to run around and do crazy things. The other one, who just obviously lies there currently, but that will change in due course. How are you feeling about it?
Well, I'm double vaccinated now.
Oh, yes, as am I, as of Saturday.
Yeah, so that's made me feel a bit more comfortable. I think basically the changes in the rules that happened, when was that now? Last week. Lose track of when things happen. I don't think that's going to change anything really about how I've been behaving. I'm still going to be wearing face mask when I'm going into, you know, in supermarkets, or when I'm walking into coffee shops or something, I will continue to wear a face mask and sanitize my hands and things like that. I've had to get a bit more relaxed about being in more crowded areas like parks and things like that, because it's obviously the school holidays now. We've got to do things. So, you know, we went to Bucklebury Farm yesterday. That was very nice. And it's a bit more crowded than perhaps we're used to. But I think I'll be sticking to outdoor events. Yeah. I wouldn't feel comfortable going, not that the opportunity presents itself, but I don't think I'd go clubbing. I don't think, why are you laughing? Rude.
No, just purely
the thought idea of me in a nightclub.
purely the idea of you and I in a nightclub, given that we used to live in nightclubs.
So sort of outdoor events, maybe like, you know, the outdoor cinema, that kind of thing, I'd be up for, but I don't feel ready to be indoors yet at crowded events, if I'm honest.
So, yeah, I would tend to agree. I mean, it's hard. As I say, I will take a look at each thing individually, I think, and just decide. I don't really want to be in a crowded room, so I'll probably avoid that. And I, as I say, sticking to sensible places that I know. So,
but what has to change, like going forward? You know, because now we're double vaccinated, nothing else is coming for us to make it feel safer. So, how long do we go on like that for?
I don't know. I really don't know. This is a really good point. If anybody has any kind of feelings on that, we'd love to hear from them, because that's not a question I've heard asked, actually, Rach. Because as you say, of it. Particularly, I don't want to get it, but at the same time, when do I start going back into crowded rooms? I don't know. Who knows?
And actually, having had my second vaccination a couple of weeks ago, the first one, I barely reacted at all. I had a sore arm, and that was about it. But the second one, the day after, only for a really short space of time, like 6 hours, I felt absolutely dreadful. Like, you know, when you have flu and your skin hurts to touch it, and just cold and hot at the same, it was just awful. And I thought, if that is a little tiny taster of what COVID could be like, and, you know, like a tiny percent of what some people have suffered, then it's made me feel more wary, I think. So
we'd love to hear people's thoughts on this. What are you planning on doing? Events you're planning on going to? There's obviously a number of good festivals this summer, including but not limited to Reading Festival, Down the Abbey, Are You Listening Festival, and any number of others.
Hold on, there's a delivery at the door. Sorry.
It's like Challenge Annika.
It is. I'm running. I'm coming. I'm sorry. Sorry, just on a call. Thank you. Thanks very much. And you. Oh, sorry, Tom. That's already been delivered once and I missed it.
Rach, you're back. You're Challenge Annika. I've probably aged myself there by remembering you doing your Annika Rice bit there, running down the stairs.
Yes. That was a bit less lycra than Annika, though.
Yes.
Thankfully.
Not everybody won't have had to listen to the whole thing there, because I've cut a little bit out of it. But yeah, you got the gist. Rachel was running down the stairs, so there we go.
Did you even know I could move that quick?
I'd not seen that for a while.
No.
Right. Thank you, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, here's Jeremy with how you can.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod. And join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
That's quite enough for this week. Rach, it's been a pleasure. Good to see you again. Good to be back on the pod.
Ditto.
We'll be back next week with plenty more, including part two what's the word I'm looking for? The second instalment of our Reading Citizen Constitution thing. I had a proper name for it and I've already forgotten it. I've scrolled down the script and I can't be bothered to scroll back up.
Reading Citizen.
That's it. Citizen, yes. if you know anybody we can speak to, we'd love to hear from you. And do get in touch on Facebook and on Twitter. If you have a moment, we'd love you to submit a review for us. That would be wicked. First use of the word wicked for quite a long time there. We'll be back with more Readingly podcast goodness next week. Bye.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.